You are listening to the best of Talk To Me on UncontrolledNoise.com. Make sure to tune in each Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, to UncontrolledNoise.com for 2 hours of the best conversation and metal on the internet. All right, huge thank you to Chris Aiken of the Classic Metal Show for taking some time. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. Got another great interview coming up. I'm going to connect with our good friend Scott Bowling down in Atlanta, Georgia. You guys know Scott as the host of Good Company with Bowling, so let's see if we can't get him on the line. Some good jam here. Skype has a good jam. All right, let's see here. Scott, are you there?
Oh, man.
What's going on, Scott? How you doing?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you. Sounding good. Our good friend Scott Bowling down in Atlanta, Georgia. How you doing?
Yeah, doing great. It's been starting to rain here, so I think it's going to rain all weekend, which is awesome.
Well, that's great. It's always good to talk about the weather. So, Scott, you got your show Good Company with Bowling, and since you started the show, man, it's gone through some changes, and now, you know, every time I turn around, you're interviewing, like, the top of the top guys, so congratulations on how good the show's going.
Oh, thank you, brother. Yeah, it's going on 2.5 years, so definitely it's growing, but I still like interviewing local people, too, so I kind of... Every once in a while, you'll see, like, I'll throw in somebody, you know, local. So,
right.
I still like doing that every once in a while, but yeah.
Yeah, you got to sneak those people in, though. But, you know, you sent me a link to your upcoming Phil Demmel interview. And Phil, you know, he was silenced for so long in Machine Head. And now that he's getting the chance to do some interviews, man, it seems like he's kind of coming out of his shell, and he's one of my favorite interviews to listen to and you know, to talk to.
Yeah, definitely. And I love the interview you did with him. Just you did a great job. When he right before he came over, I had told a couple of my friends, I was like, listen, when Phil shows up, don't ask him about the split of Machine Head. Everybody's like, oh, that's cool. When he shows up, first thing my friends do is, oh man, that was crazy about that. What was Rob thinking?
Right.
Like, thanks, guys, for I warned you not to do that.
Right in on it, man. That's too much, man. But yeah, from what I could tell, it was, you know, I loved that you kind of broke the ice with the, you know, talking about his bar and things like that. And, you know, he just seems like he's just a good talker. Like he's, you know, good storyteller, good talker.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I didn't realize how long that interview was going to be. I was watching it tonight, and I was like, wow, this is like a Rich Ward long interview. I don't think that could be topped.
Right. Yeah, I think when I had Rich on the show, I remember I had to take like 2 or 3 like just quiet bathroom breaks. You know, he just kept going. I was like, come on, man, let's bring it back just a little bit. But yeah, man, Rich will talk your head off.
Well, the difference, like, with you, it's your show, so if you could make it a Joe Rogan length if you want to, but for me, I got, like, people looking at me saying, we got to wrap this up, then we're going to have to switch cameras out and all this, so I get, like, people are writing stuff and saying, 10 more minutes, 5 more minutes, so if you notice, like, towards the end of my interview, I'm like, okay, that album's great, next album, okay, that's good.
Nice. That's awesome, man. So let's talk about your going over to start working with Nathan Mowry, who another guy along with you just seems to have blossomed, and he's done so much lately.
Yeah, so meeting Nathan was awesome. I interviewed Mikey from Islander. I've never been able to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, Mikey from Islander.
Care or something. But always such a blessing. When I interviewed him, he brought security with him. So that's like the story. And the security was Nathan Mowry. So when they showed up, Nathan was telling me, oh, you know, Rich Ward, well, I know him. I did the last few Fozzy videos. And I was having a few issues with the guy that was filming my show, the first 10 episodes. So I was like, oh, I'm going to keep Nathan, you know, I'm going to get his number. We're going to, you know, I may use him. And eventually I did. So we got Nathan aboard, and Nathan's just been a huge blessing, just a good friend, and he's been helping me get a lot of interviews, works for DDP Yoga. His relationship with the Fozzy guys, he also has helped me get people like Alicia Dove. It's just been a huge blessing. His crew is all very professional.
Mm-hmm.
He's even got like a makeup artist. So I was like, this is awesome.
So with the, you know, the last year or so, you know, the interviews you've been doing, you're also interviewing like our contemporaries, you know, our peers, you know, with Eddie Trunk coming in, Matt Pinfield, Ricky Rackman, you know, all those guys. And those are the type of guys that honestly, those are the ones that freak me out to interview the most, just because like that's their job is to interview. So the whole time I'm thinking, you know, this guy probably thinking I'm asking stupid questions or I have a stupid voice or something, you know. So how is that for you to kind of sit down with those guys?
Okay, that's great. So Eddie Trunk was the first one, I think he was the first one that I interviewed that was his job, and I was totally nervous. I was like, oh, he's going to judge me and everything. It ended up being, at the time, I was like, this is the easiest interview I've ever done, because after the interview, I was like, well, this is his job, so he makes this easy. I could be horrible at it, and he could still – he could take over. And so after that, I interviewed Jose Mangan, and same thing. I was like, dude, this is so awesome. Just interviewed Ricky Rackman, same thing. I was like, you know, if I just interview – rock journalists, it'll be the easiest job ever, because they just take over the interview, as opposed to like when I interviewed HR from Bad Brains. That was the hardest interview I've ever done. I mean, I could feel like this, I had like sweat going down my back, because it was just yes, no. So it, you know, I actually want to get like other people like Kennedy and Kurt Loder. I'm kind of like, I'm just gonna go all out and get as many VJs as I can, I guess.
Yeah, get them all, man. That was the one thing, you know, when I had Ricky on the show, I was, you know, most publicists, you obviously probably don't deal a whole lot with this part of it, but you know, they're told I'm given 20 minutes. So I call Ricky and we're talking and it hits like 19 minutes and, you know, I'm like, all right, Ricky, I know we only got 20 minutes. And he says something like, no, man, I'm having fun. We can go as long as you want. And like right then, well, you know that like, you're accepted into the world, you know?
Yes, man. That is so, when I heard him say that, I was like, yes, that's so cool. And I actually, we were talking about you and he's like, oh, I enjoyed that interview. I remember that. That was really fun.
Well, that's good, man. Yeah. He definitely shaped my youth, and I'm sure the same with you, you know? So every Saturday night, you know, all my friends were out doing stuff. I'm home watching SNL and Headbangers Ball. So.
Yeah. And the funny thing is like, I totally respect what you're doing, and sometimes me and you both interview the same people. So when you interviewed Ricky, I was like, oh man, you ask all the questions I want to know. So I'm like, oh, I got to figure out other things to talk about. But he was like I was saying earlier, just you can tell he's done a million interviews. So it was just coming up with topics was not a problem. But we did talk about you though, so
well, that's good.
He enjoyed it.
Well, me and Ricky are bros now, so that's always good. You know, the one thing with interviewing people, and I know that, you know, I might ask a question, so you know you don't want to ask it, but I mean, there's so many times that, you know, you kind of have to ask some of the same questions to, you know, or at least have your own twist on it. And I was actually talking with Chris Aiken a few minutes ago about when I go to interview someone, I'll go back and I'll listen to, you know, them with other people and either hear them talk about something and I would want to steer it one direction. So I want to, you know, maybe take what they said originally and then ask them a follow-up that wasn't asked the first time, or, you know, if they're adamant about talking about just the record, you know, you kind of get that vibe too. So it's not, you know, you just got to make it your own, I guess. You can kind of swipe some questions, but got to make it your own.
Totally. I totally agree. So like when I hear an interview and they skip, like if they're going over an album and they kind of skip by it quickly and it's an album that I like, I kind of make mental notes. So you're exactly right. So I'll think of things the person didn't ask him. Like, I wish they asked this, and then I'll make sure and do that. I'm pretty jealous that you got to interview Sonny Mayo, by the way. He was almost going to come over here, but it's just such a we're planning on eventually. But his story was just, your interview with Sonny was just amazing.
Thanks, man. Yeah, he was a good guest, and you know, it's funny. He's one of those guys where I thought we had a really good interview and really good rapport, but then like I've asked him for help with other people since then, and it's kind of like, even in the interview, I think it was him that said that I should talk to Toomer, the Snot's bass player.
Yeah.
And so after the interview, I was like, hey, well, you know, you want to hook me up? And he kind of, well, you know, do this, this, and this. It just didn't really seem like the connection was there. And then one day, back when Mike from MDG Rock Photography was the co-host of the show, he's a huge Ugly Kid Joe fan. So I was like, hey, you know, can you hook me up with Whitfield? And he's just like, I don't know, message him on Facebook. And I was like, well, that's not really going to get me anywhere. But it was just like, I thought we had a really good rapport. And at the end of the day, I was like, well, maybe we didn't. I don't know. But that was the one interview that when Sonny posted it, Shavo from System of a Down commented on it, and you could tell he had listened to the interview. So that was another time in the Talk to Me lexicon that I was like, holy shit, like, you know, dudes from System of a Down are listening.
Dude, that's amazing. Yeah, I love it. That's really cool.
That is cool. And then the other thing about the whole interview thing that I've noticed too is sometimes, you know, like Duff McKagan, he's out on a press tour for this book, and he's done all of the big shows, you know, Bill Burr, and he did the Joey Diaz's show, and he did Dean Del Rey. But it's like he's literally saying the same thing over and over, and I'm like, really, dude, come on. Like, yes, we get it, you know, your new album was gonna be a book and there's so much stuff, but yeah, he's just out there saying the same thing over and over no matter what the questions are.
Yeah, you know, if you notice, like, a bunch of people do that, like Rob from Machine Head gave the same answers time after time, and I start to wonder, do they think their fans only listen to one podcast, or you know what I mean? Like,
right. It's
like, I'm going to say on this show because I'm only going to have fans listen to this one show, but really your fans are going to do a search engine on your podcast. And like, I listen to them all, like you said, and the Duff thing, same thing. I still the interview would be just amazing.
Oh yeah.
But it'd be like a trophy just to get the interview. Yeah. I totally agree with what you're saying. I was wondering the same thing. It's just like, it's almost like the old school radio days where they just say the same thing and go to a different town, say the same thing.
Right. Oh yeah, definitely. So in the, you know, 2.5 years of doing this, what have you found that you like the most about doing the, you know, doing the interviews and meeting people and things like that?
The thing I like most, it's funny you ask that, is when Ricky came over, it was actually last Saturday, and when we got done, he goes, hey, do you guys want to go to dinner? And so we, band's playing, and we all sit, we're eating. People actually recognize him.
Right.
That's nothing to do with my story. Anyway, we're eating dinner together. And I told some of the guys that I work with, I was like, this is my favorite part of this whole thing is doing the interview and then hanging out, you know, and getting to know people. Like, I'm here at a bar hanging out with Ricky Ratman. When Brian Welch from Korn came over, we went on a boat ride.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
For like over an hour and a half. And I was like, so if this show does nothing, I got to go on a boat ride with Brian Welch. I got to eat dinner with Ricky Ratman. Not saying that I love the interview. I do love the interview, but it's just that whole package deal. I mean, I never thought that starting the show would be like, what you're really going to love is right after you get done recording and just hanging out with people. Interview.
Well, that's the thing with a lot of these guys, you know, you establish a relationship with them, and then eventually, you know, when they come through town, you know, you're able to send out a text or an email or something, you know, go and see the show, and there's definitely a camaraderie there that you don't expect is going to happen. And you know, the same thing with the other shows, you know, like with you know, me and you or you and Brutally Speaking, or you know, the camaraderie of the other shows, you know, too. It's that's always the fun part of this whole thing too.
Yeah, exactly. And I was actually just telling my brother, I was like, you know, what I started doing now is that people that I've interviewed, I've kind of lost contact with. So what I'm doing now is once a week, I'll just pull up my phone and send a text message or email somebody. Like, I was going to the dentist the other day, and as I'm waiting in line, I guess I sent Matt Thinfield a email. He emailed me right back. He's like, hey, man, yeah, I was thinking about you too, man. So I love the interview. And I was like, man, that's just so cool, you know, keeping in contact. Do you do that too? I mean, do you just, like, just reach out and say, how are you doing? Kind of keep it.
I might.
I do that with Clint.
I do some of that stuff. I think more like if it's, you know, if we've made some blabbermouth news or whatever. And I think even like Phil Demo went live one day on Instagram. And he's like texting, he's doing some stuff and he's reading, you know, comments and stuff. So I commented on that and I was like, you know, when are you ready for another interview? And he just started, you know, he read it and he's like, oh, you know, not anytime soon, you know, because all that, you know, just that type of stuff. But I don't necessarily, a lot of my stuff is through publicists. So, you know, once it's over, it's kind of over.
Okay. Yeah.
Unless they, you know, say, give me a call, which is kind of funny. Like some of the more random people, they're like, hey, if you ever need anything, you know, you have my number. Like, I think like Joey Jordanson said that to me and I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with Joey Jordanson and, you know, call him up one day and stuff. But you know, what's funny is I just did that interview with the Michael Gilbert of Flotsam and Jetsam. And it was an in-person interview. You know, I went down to the venue, got on the bus and interviewed him that way. But I've found that I actually enjoy my phoner interview is better than face to face. I don't know why. I think it's a control thing. I think it's because they're calling into my show, but like with that interview, I'm going into his world, and so it's like I feel like more of a visitor than a, you know, I have control over the interview. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No, it totally makes sense. It's so weird you said that because I was doing a. I think last year I did a podcast with Daniel Terry, Sonography Discussion, and he told me the same thing. He said that he loves doing phone interviews, and he said one time he was interviewing somebody, and they said, hey man, I'm right down the road. Do you want me to just come to your house and do the interview? Excuse me. And Daniel goes, yeah, sure. I'm totally opposite, though. Like,
yeah.
I think it's more like a comfort thing, what you're used to, because I'm used to seeing people face-to-face and kind of cutting up and then, you know, and then hit record, but the phone thing actually makes me nervous. So I don't know. I must be the only one, but.
Well, I mean, they're kind of coming into your environment too. It's not like you're going to their bus and setting up and all that stuff. I mean, they're still coming in into your world rather than you going into theirs.
True. And with that being said, on Saturday, speaking of, I'm going into Striper's world on their bus and nice. Interviewing the entire band. So I was going to ask you a question. How do you do that? you got all the guys sitting right in front of you. I mean, you've interviewed bands before, right? But like the entire lineup.
I've done some of the worst stuff I've ever done is where they said that they wanted to do like a conference call interview. And so at that point, you know, you kind of like those guys aren't in the same room together. And so you're trying to, you know, basically herd cats and get this interview going. And so like when I did David Silvera, I had to do it with his band Bias. And so that's five dudes that are all doing different stuff. And so you got to kind of like keep a list of names in front of you and be like, hey, David, so when you did this and hey, you know, Joe, when you did that, you know, you have to kind of almost curtail the, you know, questions to them and try to keep it on track that way.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So that's totally different being on the phone. And yeah, I totally get that. Yeah. I forgot you did that interview. That was really cool.
I guess when I interviewed the band Dead at Louder Than Life, you know, they all kind of came and sat down. And it's one of those deals where my mobile rig is just two microphones. So they kind of had to like pass the microphone in between them and stuff like that. So it kind of gets squirrely, especially when somebody wants to chime in that's not on the mic and all that stuff, too.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky. Like, I'm so green on this. I'm like, God, just ask a question and just kind of throw it out there to everybody. And, you know, like,
right.
So, yeah.
If you were really a pizza topping, what pizza topping would you be? Michael, what do you think? yeah, well, cool, good. Scott. Well, who you got coming up? And as we wind this one down, who you got coming up on the show?
I got a few people. So, Saturday, I got the Striper guys. I've never told anybody this. You're the only person I've told this to, but I have Chris Farley, the comedian, rest in peace. I got his brother on the show.
His brother's done some cool stuff, man. It's he's done a few good things. So yeah, he's funny.
Well, he's got a ton of brothers. So I got one of his brothers. I don't know which
one. Did you get he's got one comedian brother. I don't know. Did you get that one?
Yes. So I have the older brother. I have the brother that wrote a book about Chris Farley.
Okay.
So he's going to talk about his book. Also, I have Head from Corn coming back.
Nice.
And we're going to have that interview. Then we're going to have a Rich Ward and Head interview talking about 80s albums, or to pick three 80s albums. So that's coming up. Pretty excited about that one.
Well, cool, man. Well, what's the best place for people to find you?
Best place is scottgoodcompany.com. That's just kind of had the one website that has all my videos all together. You can find me on YouTube. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, under Scott Good Company or Good Company with Bowling. I need to activate my Twitter. I've been getting a lot of slack for that. But do you have Twitter?
Do I have Twitter?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. I don't do a ton on it, but I do, you know, post and I'll post show links and things like that. But I'm more active on Facebook than anything.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, what do you want us to play us out with?
Okay, so there was one song I was going to get as a joke. I was going to ask you to play Frantic by Metallica. But you just fussed about that. But no, okay, here's the real song. If you watch my show, the intro, Rich Ward did my intro for me. He's the man, but he put Good Company, and he had that song playing. Well, that song is, you probably know, but that song is Rape Whistle off the last Stuck Mojo album, so. I picked Rape Whistle by Stuck Mojo. It's the same song played in my intro.
Oh, see, I didn't know that, actually. I've listened to the new album with Robbie J on it and stuff like that. But I can throw that on there for you. And well, Scott, man, it was good talking to you. Good catching up. And we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. Yeah, thanks for having me on, man.
All right, man. See ya. Don't forget to check out Talk To Me Live every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on Uncontrolled Noise.